And that's right, don't laugh at me. This here is Big Dot, better known as Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, with you on another Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, saying welcome one, welcome all to our program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states, our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. Ask your questions, give your comments, your prayer praise, prayer request, because tonight we have, once again, Dr. Doug Quick with us again, and he's going to be bringing us a good message tonight. But right now, Sister Ruth, who do we got with us tonight?
Well, we have Brother Doug Quick. We have a mystery guest. We have Lila, you and me, Emily, and that's it.
Okay, does our mystery guest have their hand up there, Ruth?
Yes.
Okay. Well, how you doing, mystery guest? We'll start with you tonight.
I'm doing fine, Kenneth.
All righty. So, tonight, do you have any questions or comments or prayer requests or what have you tonight?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. Also, tonight, I do want to put in a special request for the family of Six Eyes. and God knows the reason. So we'll just leave that as unspoken tonight, but God knows the reason. Amen. All right. And you said Sister Emily's with us, Ruth?
Yeah, and of course we have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. It's crowded in here, too. But, yeah, Emily's here.
Okay, Emily. Now your turn.
Huh?
Your turn. Any prayer requests, prayer praises, what have you? Because tonight we have Brother Quick with us who's going to give us a message, so we need to get your requests and that kind of thing on early here.
Basically the same you had, one of the same things you said, also for all our first responders, the nursing home personnel, and all residents or patients.
Okay.
Also, I also have one special unspoken for myself.
Okay. And then, Ruthie, does Lila have her hand up there?
Yes, she does.
Okay, now, Lila, your turn.
Hey, Mr. Mary Wolfgang. Hey, Seth Emily and Sister Ruth.
Hi, dear.
Okay. You have any prayer requests or what have you, Lila, for Brother Quick?
Yes. There's a couple. The same thing you said earlier for the Six Eyes family. Sister Emily, me, and basically the first responders and staff and residents and or patients and myself.
Okay. And then, of course, Brother Quick knows not only the one that I gave, but as well for our blind ministry, the need that we've always had for the bus, and that the ministry would continue to grow. And, of course, for Brother Quick and his ministry, and just basically an unspoken on my behalf as well. And, Ruth, if you got any, then we'll turn it over to Brother Quick.
I just want to pray for lost souls.
Okay. Well, Brother Quick, we'll let you open us up with a prayer as you take care of these requests, and we turn the floor over to you.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Brother Ken. It's good to be back with you again. Seems like forever and a day since I have preached on here, but it's not been that long, about a month, I think. But I have missed you people, and I have missed the fact of not being able to be out here and just hear your prayer requests and different things like that. And, Brother Ken, I always miss your voice, because you used to hang around down here years ago, and we got to know each other pretty well, and so I kind of know your voice really good, so it's just good to hear your voice again this night. I know Brother Six and his need, and we've been praying for him quite a good bit this day, and we're going to keep right on praying for him, because he needs to have some victory on this, and he's going to get the victory. I know that for a fact. And it's just wonderful when we know the Lord is our own personal Savior, and then we have a need show up in our life. We have the Lord that we can always go to and take our need to, take our burdens to him. I've known that for many, many years. And it always pays well when we know that the Lord is listening to us. And so, Brother Six, the Lord's listening to you tonight. Don't you worry about that. He's been hearing all of us as we've been praying for you. And we've been praying for you a good bit more than just today, that's for sure. But
okay.
It's just good.
It's all right.
Again. Now, you got something to say, Miss Ruth?
Oh, I'm just here, and I just want to praise the Lord and have a good evening, everybody. And I'm concerned about lost souls. That's basically what I need to pray for.
All right. Well, I just know I knew you had some reason to just butt in like that, so I thought, well, I better stop and find out what it is.
I just wanted to say amen to that real quick. That's all.
Oh, my goodness. Well, listen, I want you to take your Bibles, if you've got a Bible right close to you, and turn to the book of James, chapter number 1. We'll be back in James chapter 1 again this evening. And I'll give you a few moments to find it, and then we're going to open up in prayer. And because we need the Lord's hand upon this service tonight for sure. And all of us that are listening, no one even knows about because your phone number didn't register or anything like that. I know there's a good number of other ones that are listening, so the Lord wants to meet your needs also. So James chapter number 1, and we'll just stop right there for the time being, and I'm going to open in prayer. Our Father, thank you for this night that you've given to us. Thank you for these that have tuned in, and we're asking now that you just minister unto each of our hearts and help us through this night. Some of us are carrying a heavy burden. Brother Six is carrying a burden. You know all about it. And I would plead with you that you just minister unto him and strengthen him even through this program tonight. Just help him in the only way that you know how, and that's your special way. And then for these other requests that were made, the family, Lila mentioned something. I couldn't catch all of that. And Emily and Ruth and those special unspoken requests. And we always have an unspoken request that we bring to you also, Lord. And for Brother Ken, his unspoken request, and they're still waiting for you to respond to their need of a bus for the ministry that they have that you've given to them. And they're just waiting for you to meet that need. And that need is that they believe anyways is a bus. And so they're waiting on you. And I pray that you just help them to understand that while they're waiting, they need to keep right on being busy anyhow. Now, Lord, I'm asking tonight that you'd be with us, and that you'd help me, that you just undergird me, and those that are listening, help them not to hear me, but hear you speaking through me, because all I want to be is just your mouthpiece. That's all I can be. And I'm just asking you for that favor and that need to be met this night. Those that are carrying heavy hearts tonight, I would plead with you that during this time of that you would minister onto each of our hearts and strengthen each one. Now, Lord, just help us this night now, and we'll sure enough thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, James chapter number 1, and I want to start reading right back at verse number 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. It just dawned on me that James was having the same trouble that what I'm having tonight, because I've been preaching the Word of God for some 48 years. I've always been able to see my audience, always been able to shake hands and just get to know those that were coming to the services wherever I was at. I've always had that privilege. But now I don't have that privilege because I can't see anybody except Miss Quick. And that's all I can see. And I know that there's a good number that are listening to me out there that the Lord has tuned in. And I would just want you to understand, James understood this long before I did, because listen to verse number one more time. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, listen to this now, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. He didn't have anybody that he could see when he was writing this. He was writing this in a quiet time when he knew that the Lord was on him and the Lord had instructed him to write this to these scattered tribes, and so he couldn't see anybody. But he wrote this gospel. I call it a gospel. Here in the book of James, he wrote this. All of these verses didn't have this first person that he could eyeball and look over and see how they were doing. And that's just how it's been with me as I'm preaching here on the radio. I can't see anybody. And so all I can do is just keep on keeping on with the Lord and make sure that I've been filled with the Spirit of God before I say the first word, because I don't want anybody to hear me when I'm preaching. That's how it's always been for 48 years. I'm nothing more than the Lord's voice. And that's who you need to hear when I'm speaking to this night over the air. You need to hear the Lord speaking to your heart. And that's exactly what I want you to do. Now, listen. James is writing to a tribe, several tribes. He couldn't see anybody, but he's going to be faithful in writing to these people. Now listen to verse number 2. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. Isn't that amazing? He couldn't see anybody, but he knew that about everybody that he was writing to was going through headaches and heartaches, and he knew all about that because he'd been through a good number of them himself. And so he says, my brethren, he's writing this to all Christians, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace and of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Now look at verse number 12. This is where I want to stop. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Now what in the world could James be talking about here when he says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation? Well, you remember, I just read verse number 2 to you. Let me go back and reread verse number 2, because I want you to understand where James is coming from. James, or verse number 2 says this, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. Now here in verse number 12, he says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. My goodness sakes alive. James is writing this to every child of God, myself included. I know many a time through the last 48 years when God's called me to preach, I know many a time when I have failed the Lord. I know many a time when there was a trial that was facing me, and I said, well, that's all right, Lord, I'll just face this a little bit later on. But that's not what the Lord wanted. The Lord wanted me to face it right now. I had to learn that. You see, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Oh, listen to me now. We are tempted all the way around every day. We're tempted all the way around every night. The devil is very quick to come and hound each one of us. If we're trying to do anything at all for the Lord, the devil's going to be right there to try and mess us up. He's going to be right there to throw some kind of a trial in our way. Then we're tempted by our fellow man. There's been many a preacher that I've known through the years, and he said, "How you been doing there, Brother Quick?" And I said, "Well, I'm doing all right, but the Lord is moving us." And they say, "Oh, no, 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 God don't move you like that. God don't move you like that," trying to make me stay where I was at when I already knew what the Lord had told me, and so I had to follow on through and do what the Lord said. We're tempted by daily afflictions. And then each one of us is tempted by the greatest temptation, the greatest tempter of all, and that is me, myself, and I. Oh, my, listen to me now. Can change me any direction that I think I ought to go. I want to please me more than I want to please anybody else a whole lot of times. I want to do things. I want to do things. I want to do things my way. Me, myself, and I become the greatest temptation in my life on every day that I want to sit down and listen to me the slightest little bit. Listen to me now. James wrote here in verse number 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." All of us are going to go through trials and temptations. The rest of verse number 12 goes on and says this, "For when he is tried," James never said, "Well, when if he is tried, sometimes he might be tried. Well, it's a possibility that he's going to be tried." No, James said, "For when he is tried," all of us are going to face trial. All of us are going to face temptation. Every one of us that's saved by the marvelous grace of God are going to face the trials and the temptations of life, no matter what kind of a shield we want to put around ourselves. We're still going to face them. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried," trials are coming our way. I'm telling you, trials are coming our way. Listen to me now. Peter wrote this. If I can find, Peter wrote this to us in 1 Peter chapter number 4. Let me read over here, get it, reach over here and get this for it. 1 Peter chapter 4. And verse number 12, he said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." Oh, listen to what Peter said again. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you." Every one of us is going to go through those trials and tribulations. Every one of us are going to face it. Every one of us are going to have it on a daily basis. Every one of us are going to have to learn that we have to go God's way all the time. God's way, God's way, God's way. Me, myself, and I is just going to be that which gets in my way when it comes to trying to do the will of God. Because doing the will of God has to be done God's way, not my way, God's way. Oh, listen to me now. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." We're commanded as to how we are to face each temptation. Verse number 2 of this same chapter. "With joy we're to face each one." Now, joy is not an automatic thing that comes with these trials and tribulations. Joy is not the first thing that comes to our mind. No, no, no. Joy is most of the time the last thing that comes to our mind. But James says, "Count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptation." Oh, my goodness sakes alive. We are to know that every trial is working a wonder within our hearts. That wonder is found in verse 3 and verse number 4. That wonder is that thing called patience. Oh, I think I just heard somebody groaning right there. Patience. Why do we groan when we are confronted with this thing called patience? Because most of us would stand up and say, I don't have any patience. Oh, wait a minute now. If you're a child of God, you better have some patience built in somewhere. Because if you don't have, God's going to lay it on you until you realize you do have some patience. Amen and amen. You see, when I was growing up, I would do something, and I knew it was wrong. And my mother, she'd grab me, and she'd say, boy, I don't have the patience to put up with you. Well, I didn't really know James chapter 1 all that great, so I really didn't get beat really bad. I never did say, well, my, you're supposed to have, because that's what God said. I never said that. I was scared to say that, because I was afraid you're going to beat me anyhow. Amen. But she'd say, I don't have the patience to put up with you. Oh, my soul. We better have some patience to put up with some things. That's what God's teaching us right here. My brethren, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he's going to be tried. You and I both are going to be tried. When you and I are tried, we shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing how God can give us such a promise? I mean, this is God making a promise to you and to me, making a promise to us. Oh, listen to that verse again. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, we're all going to go through that, when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Did you know that God always keeps every promise that he's ever made? Isn't that amazing? God has never had to backtrack and say, oh, wait a minute, I forgot. I was supposed to do something about that. God has never done that. He has never done that, not the first time. You see, God, when God makes a promise, God always comes through and carries it out just like he promised. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Oh, listen. I've been a member of God's family for a long, long time. I don't know that I need to tell you how long. It's just been a long, long time. Just take my word for it. It's been a long, long time. I remember the very instant that I trusted Christ to save my soul. I remember that yet to this day. I remember that yet to this day. But you see what I'm saying? For a lot of years, I'm talking about over 60 years, for a lot of years, I have had to learn over and over and over and over, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And after that 60-plus years, I can promise you, ladies and gentlemen, when God makes a promise, he always carries through and does what he's promised he's going to do. Oh, yes, he certainly has. You see, when you want to sin, and you know you shouldn't be sinning, you say, oh, I'll get along with this. No, no, no. God's already made that promise. He's made a promise that he's going to judge you. He'll judge you in love, but he's going to judge you. and you're going to pay for that little bit that you think you're going to get away with. That's just how God does things. Well, listen, plays a huge part in the Christian life. It does. You can't do anything without believing God. And you can't believe God without there being some faith there. Amen. Amen. You and I, neither one of us has ever seen God face to face. No, 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 no. Don't you ever let anybody fool you into thinking that they have seen the face of God. Ain't nobody seen the face of God. You remember Moses wanted to see God. He wanted to see the face of God. Remember that? And God says, no. I'll put you up here in the mountain, and I'll put my hand over you. I'll put you in the cleft of the rock, and you'll see my hinder parts, but you'll never see my face because no man can ever see my face and live. That was a promise made by God. Amen. And he still keeps that promise yet to this day. Oh, listen. Commanded to do things the right way. You say, well, I really don't know how to do that. Oh, well, let's go back to verse number 5 for a minute. If any of you lack wisdom, listen now, James is writing to those that he can't even see their face, but he knows the difficulties that they're going through all the time. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be done. Isn't that amazing? Oh, wait a minute now. That's verse number 5. Verse number 6 has something more to go along with that. Verse number 6 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. I just was talking about faith just a couple of moments ago. Oh, you know, when you need to get some kind of answer from the Lord, the only way you're going to get it is by believing, by having faith. That's the only way you're going to get it. You can ask God all day long, all night long, all week long, all month long, all year long. You can ask the Lord for the wisdom that you need, but you're not ever going to get it until you get to the point where you ask him in faith. When you ask him in faith, that means you know the answer is on the way home. Amen and amen. Well, listen, to grow joy. James chapter 1, verse number 2 tells us that. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptation. It takes faith to believe that. It takes faith to get needed wisdom from the Lord, verses 5 and 6. It takes faith to know that we're enduring temptation, verse number 12. It takes faith knowing that we're going to come out on the other side a victor. It takes faith to believe that. It takes faith to receive the crown of life, verse number 12. It takes faith to really believe that God keeps his word, verse number 12, because verse number 12 ends up like this, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind? Do you? Do you? Do you really? Do you really love the Lord that much? If you love the Lord that much, there's promises in the Word of God that you can claim. Oh, listen to me now. Listen to me now. It takes faith to receive the crown of life, verse number 12. It takes faith to really believe that God keeps his word, verse number 12. There are several crowns that God has promised to us, his children. There's 5 of those crowns that God has promised to each one of us. We just read about the one here in verse number 12. It's called the crown of life. We read about this crown of life one other time in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Ooh, that's pretty heavy talk. But it's coming from a God that keeps his word. It's coming from a God that keeps every promise that he's ever made. And he promised that church that he's writing to here in Revelation chapter 2. He promised that church, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. Isn't that amazing? The devil can't get rid of us. No. How can the devil get rid of the child of God? Because our strength and our faith comes from above. It comes from heaven. Comes from God, our soul. The devil is here on this earth. He's the god of this world. He doesn't have any strength. All he can ever do is that which God allows for him to accomplish. That's it. That's it. That's it. Well, there's another crown that we read about in the Word of God. We read about the crown of life in James chapter 1, verse 12, Revelation chapter 2, verse number 10. Well, how about 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 25? Listen to this. Listen to this. See if you can line up with this at all. It says, and every man that striveth for the mastery in all things, but they do it with a corruptible crown, but we are doing it for an incorruptible crown. Whoa! I'm not trying to win all the gold and silver in this world. No, 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 I'm not. I'm not trying to do that, not the slightest little bit. What I'm trying to do is be found faithful unto the Lord that's called me to walk and talk and to preach the word of God that he's given me. Let me read that verse of scripture to you again. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But we are in the battle to get an incorruptible crown. Boy, I like that. I like that a whole lot. Well, what about a crown of glory? 1 Peter chapter number 5. Listen to these words. 1 Peter chapter number 5. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Let me read that again. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, and he's going to appear one of these days. He's coming. He's coming back. He promised he's coming back, and he's going to be back. You can't, don't you listen to the devil and his bunch. They say, oh, there's not really any God anymore. No, no, no. And they're trying to get this in God we trust off of our money. And they're trying to get all that kind of stuff out of our minds and all that kind of, no, no, no. God is real. And God is the God that we trust in. Amen. Amen. And you see, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, the chief shepherd is the Lord Jesus himself, ye shall receive a crown of glory. Fadeth not away. Oh, my goodness sakes. Isn't that amazing? That just amazes me. How about this next one? How about a crown of rejoicing? Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. He says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? I'm going to have a crown of rejoicing because there's been many people that's come to know Christ through my ministry. There's been a good number of people that I've stopped along the way and witnessed to and got down and prayed with them right on the spot, and they trusted Christ. I'm going to have that crown of rejoicing. I'm going to have it for sure. And I know I'm going to have it for sure because I'm not done serving God yet. God has not taken me home yet. And I'm still going to keep right on finding those people that need Christ, that are going to stop and listen to me. They're going to listen to the Spirit of God. And under conviction of the Spirit of God, they're going to fall down on their face and they're going to cry out to God to save them. It's going to be rejoicing on a crown that I'm going to wear. Amen. Amen. Oh, my soul. Well, there's one more. How about the crown of righteousness? 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. You love the thought of Jesus coming back? Do you? Do you really love the thought of the Lord Jesus Christ coming back to take you on home to glory? Do you really love that? Do you really love that? If you do, there'll be a crown waiting for you one day. Amen. And amen. Oh, listen to me. You see how splendid it is to grow in God's grace? In the midst of all of the trials and tribulations that we are confronted with, in the midst of all of those, it's still a splendid way to go to grow up in God's grace. Because to grow up in God's grace means there's always going to be more help on the way. Anytime that I need help, cry out to the Lord, and I say, Lord, I've got a need, and that need needs to be met, and you're the only one that can meet it. And then I get quiet, and I wait, and it won't be long, and God will come by and meet that need. That's just how he works. He works that way all the time. You see, it is just a splendid thing to grow up in God's grace. My dad and I were pretty close. My dad had been a pastor for 40-some-odd years. And every Sunday afternoon, either he would call me or I would call him. And my wife and I knew that he was getting up in age, and we knew that he was starting to slow down. And one Sunday afternoon, I talked with him on the telephone, and I could tell that it was time for us to head on up to see if we could spend the last days with him. And I hung the phone up, and I looked at my wife, and I said, darling, it's time we go. And she says, I know. I'm already packed up. Let's go. Now, we talked wonderfully that Sunday afternoon. It was 1,200 miles up to where my father was. We got up there on Monday evening, walked into my mother and dad's house. My mother said, what you doing up here? And I said, we've come up here to see Dad. And she said, well, he's laying right over there. I guess that's where you're going to have to go see him. So I went over there, and I said, Dad, you need to wake up. We made a long trip. I come up here to spend some time with you. And he opened up his eyes, and I could not understand a word coming out of his mouth. He beat that bed with his left arm, just bamity, bamity, bam. He was trying to tell me something, and I couldn't understand the first word. And I knew that God had let him look over that shore. He'd already seen the other side. And he was not going to be able to say one word to me about it. I knew that. I knew that for a fact. I said, Dad, we got to go. We got to get some rest. We'll be back tomorrow. And he started in again, slapping that bed with that arm. And finally, I looked at him and I said, Dad, we got to go. We'll be back in the morning, but you won't be here, will you? That's the only word that I could ever understand that he said. When I said, you won't be here, will you? He said, no. And he wasn't. He was home with the Lord come the next morning. Well, his pastor came to me the day or so before his funeral. And he says, Brother Quick, I just think that it would be right for you to preach your dad's funeral. Would you like to do that? And I said, I would love to do that. And God undertook and filled me, and I preached on Dad's funeral and got done. And I said, well, Lord, I'm sure glad you was here to help me. I don't know if anybody made any sense out of that or not. And my father's pastor came to me and hugged my neck, and he said, Brother Quick, thank you for preaching. God was all over you, and I needed to hear everything that you said, and so did everybody else that was here. Isn't that amazing how God can take such a time like that and turn it into such joy? Well, that's what God did. My mom-in-law was about to die. We had to make that same 1,200-mile trip because she lived up in the same part of the world that my father was at. And so we got up there and spent two or three nights, I guess. And my mom-in-law was just about to go. And she knew that. We knew that. My mom-in-law was ready to meet the Lord also, because my wife prayed for her for 20-some-odd years. And finally, on a phone conversation, my wife said, Mama, you know what you got to do. She says, I know what I got to do. As soon as I hang the phone up, I'm going to do that. And the next time that we saw her, I knew that she'd met the Lord. I could see the difference in her. I could feel it. And so I was able to preach her funeral. I knew where she was at, too. She was right there alongside of my dad, probably on her face, alongside of my father, in front of God the Father, just thanking God for such mercy that he'd given them. Oh, my soul, listen to me. Listen to me. I want to tell you one more time. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. No temptation can be so strong to take you under, child of God, because the Spirit of God lives within your heart, and you're not your own boss anymore. The Holy Ghost lives within you, and the Holy Ghost is going to give you the strength and the knowledge and the strength that you need. The Holy Ghost is going to do that for you. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them love him. Do you love the Lord? Do you really love the Lord? Do you know Christ is your personal Savior? Have you trusted Christ to save your soul? If you have, you fell in love with the Lord. And as long as you fell in love with the Lord, we just read about a crown coming your way. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Oh, my soul. We're going to get it. If we love the Lord, we're going to get it. That's all there is to it. Well, listen, I don't know how long I've been preaching here. I guess for just a little bit. I think it's about time to close things down. I'm going to be praying here in just a minute, but listen to me now. I want you to understand. You got to deal with what the Lord has laid on your heart tonight. If you were listening to me and you had a burden on your heart, I would hope that the Lord has lifted that burden and put some joy in its place. I would hope that God's done that. He's done that for me already tonight. He's always done that for me. And I believe he's done that for you also. Our Father in heaven, I'm asking now that you'd minister unto us in these moments. Help us in these moments now to hear your voice and to do exactly what you tell us to do, because I know that you're going to tell us to do something. Now, those of you that heard me preach tonight, while this song is playing, I want to ask you a couple of questions. Do you know positively for sure that Jesus Christ is your own Savior? If there's any kind of a doubt at all, you don't know You don't know. You don't have that peace. And as long as you don't have that peace, now is the time for you to bow your head. Ask the Lord to forgive you of every sin, because you're going to be under conviction right now anyway. Ask him to forgive you of every sin and plead with him to come and save your soul. And I promise you, before you get done praying, you're going to know that he's taken up residence in your heart. That's the importance of knowing that we're born again. That's the importance of it. I don't have any doubts all day long. I don't have any doubts all night long. There's some nights I don't sleep real good. I'm praying a whole lot. And those nights that I don't sleep real good, I don't have any fear of not going to heaven, because I know for a fact that I am going to heaven. And if you don't know Christ as your own personal Savior, I would plead with you this night that you would trust him. Trust him. Call Ken. Let him know that that's what you've done tonight. Let him know so that he can be praying for you. And he'll pass it on to me so that I can be praying for you also. Our Father, now I'm asking that you just minister unto us and help us in these moments to listen to you as you speak to us, and we'll sure enough thank you. And just be with us now, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Brother Ken.
All right. And Brother Quick, I thank you for that great message. It was good and filling tonight. I got quite a bit out of it, and I appreciate that, especially those out there that are going through trials, as we know Brother Six is going through. I know it would be greatly appreciative of your message tonight. So we just hope everybody's got something out of it. Of course, they could get in contact with you, Brother Quick. You want to give your address information if they wish to write you through snail mail?
Yeah, my address is 1122, that's 1122 Church Street in Waycross, Georgia. Our zip is 31501, and that's the United States of America. Thank you for
okay.
reminding me about that.
Okay, repeat that one more time for the listening audience.
1122 Church Street, Waycross, Georgia, 31501, USA.
Okay. And then also, if you are a person that uses email and wish to use that avenue, you can email me and I'll pass it on to Brother Quick. And the email address you'll use is feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, let N as in Nancy, touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com. Again, feelandtouchking@gmail.com. In your subject line, write comment for Brother Quick. And I will be sure to get that to him ASAP, that's for sure. And then, of course, once he responds, I will get back to you. Amen. And then, of course, shows like this are not free. They do cost money for the airtime, etc. So if you wish to keep programs like this on the air, you got two options. First of all, you could go to PayPal if you're a PayPal user. And you enter the email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, you go to Cash App and you enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4. And in both cases, you enter in the dollar amount of your love gift. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And God will richly bless you. Amen. And then also, if you don't have Cash App or PayPal and you wish to find out other ways of giving, you can contact Brother Six directly via email at 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In subject line, just put donation information requested. And he can give you other options on how to donate if you wish to do donations other ways than PayPal and or Cash App. Amen. And with that, we got a couple other small announcements, station ID, and about staying warm this winter, but doing it safely. And then after that, we're going to close out. Amen.
This is Lynn Townsend. You're listening to the 6i's Radio Network.
Welcome to the 6i's Stay Warm But Safe segment, where it is better to be warm and safe than cold and in your grave. Today I'd like to talk to you about safety with different types of heating. First of all, let me talk to you about furnaces, whether gas, propane, or oil. First of all, have your furnace looked at by a well-qualified technician, not your aunt, your uncle, your cousin, your brother, whatever, that claims they know what they're doing, but a well-qualified technician who has went to school for such things. Also, be sure to change your air filter once a month, and be sure there are no debris, clutter, etc. around your furnace. Moving on, let's talk about fireplaces. We're talking about the gas-type fireplaces, wood-burning fireplaces. These areas must be well vented through a chimney. Be sure there is no clutter near the hearth, etc., and children should not be allowed to play in such an area. Also, be sure there is no debris close to the area that could catch fire. Now let's talk about space heaters. There are many types on the market today. First, let's talk about electric space heaters. Be sure all electric space heaters have the shut-off feature. Should they be tipped over, they shut off automatically. Secondly, be sure to check the cord on a monthly basis. What you should check for is, one, where the plug plugs into the wall socket. Be sure while the unit is working and running that the plug is not getting warm. If it gets warm, replace the electric heater. This is because it can overheat the plug and cause melting of the plug and an electrical fire. Secondly, check the length of the cord from the plug to the electric heater to make sure there is no melting or fraying of the cord, which can cause a fire. Also, be sure all cords are not under or around the space heater itself where it can be overheated or cause a trip hazard. Next, the space that a space heater should have. All space heaters should have a clearance or space between the heater and all objects near them. This is easily accomplished by putting your left leg near the heater, right leg next to the object you want to make sure there's space between. You should be able to stand easily between the two without cramping yourself. This is at least a 2-foot space or span. Also, above the space heater, there should be nothing between the space heater and the ceiling. This will give it proper room for allowing heat to escape the heater without causing fire. The reason for this is, if, for example, wooden furniture is near it, the furniture can become overheated, dry out, and thus cause a fire. Objects such as cardboard or paper can easily become overheated and ignite. Cloth objects can easily overheat and become ignited and cause a fire. This is why there should always be a 2-foot span around the heater and at least over the top of the heater from the top of the heater to your ceiling should be always clear. And never, ever touch a space heater with your bare hands while it is running. Electric heaters that have fans, do not place anything on the area of the space heater where the fan is pulling air into the fan, known as the intake valves. This can cause the heater to overheat and burst into flames. Also, put nothing on the outgoing air because of the same reason for the cause of fire. In fact, nothing should be on any space heater reason that they can cause fire. Now let's talk about propane and kerosene heaters. These types of space heaters burn with an ignition source and flame. They put off CO2 due to the igniting process and the burning process. These space heaters require proper venting. They should not be used in a closed house without proper ventilation. Without proper ventilation, these heaters could cause the CO2 to build up. You would start to feel sleepy, fall asleep, and never wake up again to see your family, and they would be very saddened at your passing. So do not use these space heaters without proper ventilation. Finally, let's talk about what they call torpedo heaters, propane heaters. Some also are run by kerosene, and these heaters have a fan that takes the heat source and makes it at an extreme heat, more heat for the buck, as they say. The fan blows across the heat source and makes it hotter. These heaters are usually used in a garage-type environment. Once again, because of the heat source, propane or kerosene must be properly vented. Should never be used inside of a home without proper ventilation due to the CO2 buildup. As I stated before, this is true of all heaters, no matter their type, whether in your fireplace, space heater, torpedo heater, whatever. Young children, teenagers, or yes, even you adults should never allow children to play around them, nor should you touch them while in operation. These are causes for serious burns. We do not want you to be burned due to your space heater. Remember, proper space for your heater, proper checking of the electrical, and proper use, all important when using heaters. And finally, we want to reiterate with what we started with at the beginning of this segment. Here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, we want you to be safe but warm. It is better to be warm and safe than cold and dead. All right. And Ruth, who do we got with us as we get ready to close? Just want to give anybody a chance to say anything that may wish to speak.
Well, we got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We got you, of course, Emily, me, this Mr. Guest, and Jim.
Okay. Well, we'll start with our Mr. Guest. Do you have any final comments that you'd like to say tonight?
No, thank you.
Okay. And Emily. Get your coffee, Em.
Yeah, all right, Kenny.
Are we having fun yet?
Just curious if you had any questions or comments.
No, but all I'll tell you is I know who the mystery guest is, but I'm not going to say.
Okay.
You know, she sounds familiar, too.
Yeah, a little bit, but I'm not exactly placing her, but that's good enough. But we're glad to have them and wish they'd come
that's
back
nice
and join
choice.
Us again. We'd be glad to have you join us anytime. For any of the programming we have here on Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern is our Sunday Gospel Show, the Six Eyes Gospel Show. And then on Monday is Motivational Monday at 9 p.m. All these times are Eastern Standard Times, so 9 p.m. Eastern is the Six Eyes Motivational Monday. On Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Or 8 p.m., excuse me, is the Word of the King with Evangelist Timothy Gruver. On Wednesday at 7 p.m. is Wednesday night Bible study with, of course, me and Ruth, Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. That's at 7 p.m. On Thursday, as you joined the program tonight, you already know that's at 9 p.m., the Jumbo Braille program, where we may have Brother Quick preaching, or we may have some guests join us to where what we may be doing is interviewing those who have some sort of disability and how they've overcome the disability to make their part of the world a little better place. That's what the Jumbo Braille program is all about. And then, of course, on Friday, 9 p.m., is the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, where you get Bible College on the air with no homework at 9 p.m. And then, of course, Saturday is open programming. So we'd be glad to have you for any and all of the programs. You use the same number that you used to call as you did tonight, 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. And just press the number 1 to join into any of the programs. And we'd be glad to have you there, Mr. Yes. And we'd be glad to have you anytime for any of the programs. Amen. All right. Well, since it looks like we've covered everybody, we're going to say God bless, good night, and we'll catch you all tomorrow for the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang Show, 9 p.m., and we'd be glad to have you. Catch you later.
Sleep, everyone. Love everyone.
Emily.
Yeah.